Jumping off in hour two. Welcome aboard. This is Sports Talk here on this Tuesday edition. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier. I'm Christian Garrick. Charlie Long at Master Control taking your calls on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text lines. Let's go to Walter on the West Bank. Go ahead, Walter. You're on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text lines on WWL.
Guys, I know y'all know plenty about the Saints. Everybody's looking for the second quarterback, but you don't think Dalton right now could beat the Blitz and try to get us to score points where we could try to win two or three games? We got to get a win streak going if we're going to go to the playoffs.
That's a great point, Walter. We got to get off to a fast start.
More, we not could beat any good team.
Hey, Walter, I think that's a great point. We got to get some momentum. We got to get off to a fast start. We can't be down 10-0, and then we playing catch up. We got to come out the gate smoking. And I'm talking about kind of like not comparing to LSU, but you know what? If you just feel good as a team. You know, three of the last four games, LSU has scored on the first possession. You know, against Auburn, LSU should score in the first possession. Auburn's terrible. They might be the worst in two decades, the Auburn Tigers. But I'm just comparing to where getting off to a fast start. That's what the Saints need to do.
Walter, the other thing, too, is I'm always about players. You can call all the players in the world you want, but it's about players. Come on, you got to get your great players more involved. Alvin Kamara more as a receiver. Michael Thomas more involved. What the hell's going on? That part of the game is confusing to me. Why are you not getting those two star players more involved?
It's almost blasphemy that Chris Olave, and nothing against Chris Olave, number one, first round draft pick and all that. But listen, you have to slow your roll. Jameis has to have more sense than that. You got a force feed, and you could do that within reading the coverage. Like Michael Thomas, NFL Offensive Player of the Year, Alvin Kamara, and then Jarvis Landry. These guys have set NFL records. Chris Olave was just like putting deodorant in his arm at Ohio State when those guys were doing stuff. I mean, come on. That's why you need...
Well, what is that? Is that Jameis falling in love with the big play ability?
Yes. Nothing wrong with that now and then.
Because I know Pete Carmichael was here when Thomas set all the records.
Yes.
When Kamara was averaging over 80 catches a season coming
they
out the
call
backfield.
Call him the same play.
The same thing.
You got a different trigger, man. Andy Dalton would be more Drew Brees-like than Jameis Winston. You might say, well, I like the long play. Who doesn't like the long play? We like the splash play, the chunk play. But I'm going to tell you what.
It's a low percentage play, though.
Low percentage, and you know how, we always say attacking a blitz and all. Live by the sword, and then you die by the sword. It's like feast or famine. Oh, look at that play. Touchdown. Oh, well, we got to punt
again. Well, if you can see that, what you just said.
They know that. The Saints know that.
They know it, too.
Why haven't they acted upon it?
Because it's just the way football is. I don't know. I don't have an answer for this. I don't know. It's not like baseball. Who has the hot hand? It's not like you got a starting pitcher. I've said this, a middle reliever or a closer. It's not like all of a sudden we need to make a change now. We can come back to Jameis. I never understand how can quarterback psyche be so weak. How can it be so weak that if the coach takes me out, I'm going to pout and not play no more? You're getting paid millions of dollars. You're being financially rewarded. So when you get your next opportunity, how about you take advantage of that? No one's lost confidence in you, but maybe you're having a bad day. A lot of people have bad days. Then you bounce back from that. How about getting winning football? That's why I never thought he's a starter, he's a back. Let me tell you right now, look at the Cowgirls. Oh, okay. If all of a sudden they keep winning and they're going to be challenged coming up, they should take care of the Washington Commanders. What if Cooper Rush is winning? So you're just going to go with Dak Prescott? Dallas ain't won jack with Dak Prescott. They paid him all that money. That does
Jerry
not matter.
Jerry is going to say, I want Dak back in the
okay,
lineup.
Okay, then you lose.
That's going to happen.
All I know is it's not like that all of a sudden you're playing and you said, oh, you can't lose your job from an injury. Hell yeah, you can.
It
depends
who's
on it. Because it's a team sport. You're trying to win. It doesn't matter who's the quarterback. Then you give your chance again. Then you take advantage of opportunity when you're in there, and hopefully you win.
We have seen some of the greatest pitchers in Major League Baseball history get pulled the second, third inning because they didn't have it.
They had an off day. They had an off day, and then you lift to fight another day, and the next time they come in there, they do awesome. Hey, listen, the players need to be humbled. Human beings need to be humbled. They all think they're high on the hog and all that. Nothing wrong with being humble, but you can't give up the ghost. You got to fight. How about be a fighter?
Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick, Dustin Baker, host of Believe in Vikings podcast is next. Your calls as well. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Bobby, Mike, and Christian back here on Sports Talk. Dustin Baker, host of the Believe in Vikings podcast, joining us. Dustin, are you still stateside, or did you make the trip across the pond?
No, I am stateside. I opted to go to the Vikings game in Miami in a couple weeks in lieu of the London game. So I'm right here with you.
You made the right choice. You made the right choice. Looking at this game, and I'll be interested to see what the injury with Dalvin Cook is, because he is such a big part of that offense as a runner and a receiver. And I know one thing, he's a tough dude. Man, he's fought through some injuries in the past that the normal cat, he's not fighting through. But Madison's a different player, and we were talking about this to Paul Allen. When Madison came out from Boise State, the Saints really liked him, and they were going to pick him. The Vikings kind of jumped the Saints to get him. But I think a big part of their offense, and it's been sort of a roller coaster ride. They wiped the floor with the Packers in week one, and then the Eagles took care of them. And then last week we saw it with the Lions. It was schizophrenic all over.
They came back and won.
But Dalvin Cook is such a big part of that offense.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. We're used to this in these circles because, like clockwork, he misses at least two games per year and usually more than that. Thankfully, for his sake, he's been somewhat healthy for the last three seasons. In his first 2 years, he missed almost
all of it.
Yeah, so this is familiar territory, and this is why they drafted Madison, like you were talking with Paul Allen and whatnot, with high draft capital, that third-round pick, because they knew that this happens to Cook. So, yeah, they're different style runners. Madison really isn't a pass-catching threat like Cook is. But then again, Madison's more of a bowling ball. He can also hurdle guys. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Cook doesn't really do that. So it's unfavorable to possibly be without Cook, but this is just clear as day. We've done this before. So when Madison comes in, he usually excels.
Now, Dustin, when I look at obviously the weapons and this day and age, you want the weapons, for the quarterback to get you the ball. Look at Justin Jefferson. Where is I thought this was interesting. I'm looking at Kirk Cousins and how you spread the wealth around. When you look at Adam Thielen, I'm looking at it, he's like, I think his salary cap number is like right under $12 million or $11.7 million. Are they happy where Thielen's at right now? Because I know Justin Jefferson is the future, but how do they view the receiving core and Kirk Cousins working with Adam Thielen? Because that's a household name.
And Osborne's also in the mix.
Yeah,
there
with
also.
Osborne, yeah.
Yeah, see, with Thielen, he is 32 years old. So in the next year or two or whatnot, he'll start to wind it down. So the Vikings like to kind of hand out lifetime achievement contracts where you've done so well. So here's 11. They did it with Kyle Rudolph, your guys' buddy, for multiple years when they, basically pay him too much. Now, Thielen, I think per cap hit is the 11th highest paid dude in the NFL for 2022 cap hit, I should say. And they didn't utilize him in week one or two. Jefferson was so wide open against the Packers that why would you? And then everything went to pot against the Eagles. But he did get back in the mix, Thielen, that is, against the Lions, caught a touchdown, and was targeted. And that was because they double-teamed Jefferson. Cousins, even with Washington, has always been good at distributing the ball all over the place. And when Thielen is producing and not ignored in the offense, he's still worth that. But you can expect that he'll start to wind it down here.
Dustin, the Saints are already over in London. The Vikings are treating this like a regular road game. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, it's weird. On that show you mentioned out of the gate here with Bryant McKinney, I asked him, and he said there's a lot of credence to the time zone stuff, even going from coast to coast in this country. And so I'm guessing that they have an adept plan to acclimate to their time zone when they get there. But yeah, it is odd. The Vikings have been over there twice before, as have the Saints. And I thought it was strange that they're treating it like a regular thing, but I'm going to guess that the way that the general manager operates, that they're pretty meticulous. So for our sake, hopefully they know what they're doing.
Now, you know, Dustin, looking at it, it's always, you know, when you recollect Saints versus Vikings, whether it's in New Orleans or in, you know, you're playing at Minnesota. But I was looking at the last matchup, the home contest. It was on Christmas Day in 2020. That wasn't that long ago when you think about it. It's not even 2 years. Alvin Kamara put together an electrifying performance, to say the least. What, 52-33 win? The team's fourth straight NFC South title. But he tied an NFL record with six rushing touchdowns, six total touchdowns. I mean, that is like, I mean, the Vikings look like they did not belong. Well, right now, the Vikings are looking more like they belong, not necessarily looking at that Eagles game. But right now, with the slow start with the Saints, it's amazing how things have changed. And Alvin Kamara maybe is not as involved with the Saints need him to be involved, considering his success he had against the Vikings.
Oh, well, absolutely. If you just look at the top of the card, they have two different head coaches. Mike Zimmer's gone, Kevin O'Connell's in, Dennis Allen's in, and Peyton's gone. So, yeah, I mean, while the rosters are somewhat similar to the 2020 game, and I remember that vividly, all seven touchdowns over and over. That was really kind of the obituary of Mike Zimmer's defense, that, you know, we were one of the few teams to employ a defense-first head coach, and then they just got gouged by the Saints on Christmas. But, yeah, a lot of things have changed between that game. But, you know, they still have Cousins in at quarterback one, and then, you know, Breeze has since retired. The run defense is better than that game, but it's certainly not a strong asset for the Vikings as of yet. So you can hang your hat on that heading into Sunday.
Danielle Hunter and using him a little different way. Because the Vikings, for the last 35, 40 years have been a regular 4-3 defense. And now you see Hunter sort of standing up as a pass rusher. I know one thing, when he's healthy, man, he's hell on wheels because he can get off the corner and he knows how to turn it. Your thoughts from him coming back from his injury and how well he's looked so far in the first couple
games? Yeah, is he ready to roll, Dustin? Is he healthy or what?
Oh, yeah, he's 100% healthy, but here's the deal. You are correct. They switched to they're almost like Steelers-ish with the 4-3 history. They've only used the 3-4 once. I think that was 1986.
Yeah.
Well, they switched it. Ed Donatell came in and said, we're doing something different. And we were told all summer that this would be a seamless transition for Hunter. But all things considered, for the first three games, he hasn't played like the usual Hunter. So it leads me to believe that there is some acclimation to the 3-4. And I don't know. I can't put a week on it when he'll finally show up. But, yeah, it's a little bit different gig standing up like that. But if you look at the guy, he's got the tools to eventually, you know, get it in the 3-4 defense.
Now, Dustin, what's up with – because I'm kind of a Kirk Cousins fan, but I want him playing at 12 noon or in the afternoon. I don't want him playing prime time. So they all kind of view back in Minneapolis in Vikings country that, well, even the time change is early in the morning, but it's an afternoon in England, so maybe Kirk Cousins steps up because it's not a night game.
No, I think he'll be just fine. That the dialogue against him on prime time, I think it's specifically Monday Night Football,
is a little
jaded. So he personally – he's not as bad as the whatever 2-10 record is. If you look at the numbers, a lot of that accrued while he was in Washington and things didn't go very right in general there. But he does indeed in primetime games have a moderate dip to his usual noon game, or we call it, and you're in the Central Time Zone, the noon game stuff.
Right.
But this one, I wouldn't really expect, you know, like, oh, you're going to get a bad Cousins because he had to travel a little bit further. It's really just kind of his team's Monday night voodoo.
Dustin, your thoughts on the special teams? Because I think this is going to be a really close game between Saints-Vikings. I think it'll be tight. And you look at how well the special teams – man, at one time the kicking game was a revolving door in Minnesota. And how does that look today, punting, kicking, and the return game?
That's the only part of the team in 2022 that there is no criticisms toward.
Okay.
Like, you'll have – there's, like I said, there's the defensive porousness. They allow chunk yards, and then the offense couldn't get anything going on Monday night against the Eagles. However, in all three games, special teams has been an asset, and that's new for the Vikings. Yeah. Now, Greg Joseph missed two 56-yarders against the Lions, but those are kind of a crapshoot anyhow. But in the summer, they released their veteran punter, Jordan Berry, for this rookie guy named Ryan Wright, who's built like CC Sabathia. And you're trying to figure out, well, what are they doing here? Well, this guy, you know, has got a leg and suddenly is one of the top punters in the business. So ordinarily, Greg Joseph is somewhat reliable. And then just coverage and the return game has been a lot better from the final 2 years of the Zimmer regime.
Dustin Baker, host of the Believe in Vikings podcast. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks, Dustin.
Thank you.
All right, pick six is next, and your calls here on Sports Talk on WWL. Right to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Pat in Mandeville. Go ahead, Pat. You're on WWL.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Pat.
I just wanted to make a comment about an observation I made about the Saints' behavior on the football field. It just seems like to me that the team is not taking the game to their opponent, that instead of playing on their toes and bringing it to the opposition, they're playing flat-footed. And it seems like they are lacking enthusiasm about their play. And they obviously lack focus. And I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
Well, no, that's a great point. You got to come out the gate smoking. And one personality besides DeMario Davis, he's not on the team anymore. C.D. Deuce, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, you know, he was going to bring the passion. He's now in Philadelphia, and, you know, we're talking about we have not taken away the football. Do we have an interception this year? And what? We've played, like, three. We don't even have a pick. Now, this happened in training camp. No one intercepted the ball.
But not one guy.
But Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Not Honey Badger, not Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo. They'd all get passes defended, but no one got any interceptions. How that could turn things around. You know, CeeDee Deuce had two pick sixes against Jameis. I want to say maybe it might have been one against Jameis, maybe one against Dalton. But I know he had two that in practice. It might say, well, it's practice. But no, it's a game-like atmosphere and what they're doing. And you know, you got a pick six or a scoop and score like the Carolina had against us. Most NFL teams like, man, hell yeah, we should win. So we're behind the eight ball trying to play catch-up against Carolina. I agree with you, Pat. Where's the passion from the get-go? I don't know. Don't be a Joku. I'm a pro. I'm a pro. I got to act like I've been there, done that before. How about you ranting and raving, jumping up and down, showing a lot of passion? The fans embrace that. I think the players embrace that.
The other thing, too, is I think almost subliminally-wise, you take on the personality of your head coach. I'm just telling you, it happens.
That makes sense.
I see it in not only in sports, but in other businesses too. You sort of take on the personality of the boss. And, you know, Dennis is not out the box, so to speak, like Sean. Man, Sean would get on your butt and big time. And maybe Dennis is doing it, but he does it in a different manner.
Yeah, you know what Mike's saying? And it's like, to me, it has to be constant. It can't be you turn it on, you turn it off. Now, Dennis has been more behind the scenes, but we don't maybe see maybe during the week. And he doesn't do that game day. And he said, well, maybe Sean wasn't like that during the week as much as maybe Dennis.
But he was on game day.
But on game day.
It's well chronicled, game day Sean. We've had several conversations about game day Sean.
Well, game day Sean, that's when it freaking counts. You know, it's not like practice. No, it's the game. You got to get it done, and you got to be demanding. It's a production business.
And I do think that teams do take that on, and they respond differently to different deals. Bob always says it. The guys that, when he won, they were all SOBs as coaches.
Right.
When it was a nice guy, guess what? You got beat.
No, you got beat, or it's like, oh, well, we'll get him next week. Or
Andy Reid's a nice guy.
We all fist pumping and all, like, oh, you know.
Andy Reid's a nice guy.
We hang, but you have to look who's doing the dirty work maybe for him.
Andy's dirty work.
So do you look at Eric Bieniemy in the conversation with Pat Mahomes?
That's probably the guy, the bad cop.
Andy's everybody has to have their role, you know.
Andy's deal is, okay, I don't like this. Eric, tell him. Tell him something.
Oh, without a doubt.
Tell him something, no, and I'm going to be the mediator.
And like exactly Mike said, you don't think the psychology of football would occur because of Patrick Mahomes, the great Patrick Mahomes. I'm telling you right now.
Mike Holmgren used to be like that. I remember watching NFL films and him telling Andy Reid, who was his offensive coordinator, can you have a conversation with Favre here?
Without a doubt.
Mike was, I got to clean this up. He wasn't the nicest guy.
Yeah, but he had. When
but
he Favre,
knew how to press.
He didn't want to butt heads with Favre.
He didn't. He knew how to press the buttons. But as far as Favre was concerned, I'm staying out of it.
Yeah.
My assistant coach, you tell him because he's too hard headed. I'm gonna go off on him.
Well, no, you have to have like certain coaches that have to be on your staff. That's gonna be like.
We used to call it the heavy in the Marine Corps, the heavy.
Yeah, the heavy. That's a good word, Chris. I was about to curse. I'm not going to curse. I
mean, no cursing.
So, that like the heavy, where, let me tell you, Coach Mara was the heavy. I think Coach Payton's the heavy. Now, you don't, Andy Reid's not the heavy, but you have people around you who's the heavy. And then, but you know what? If you're not the head coach and you're the head coach has to have your back. So Andy Reid has Eric Bieniemy's back. So listen, we got to like, you know, I want you to get on Patrick Mahomes about this and confront him. Well, Andy Reid could be like the peacemaker. No, it's a different way to skin the cat.
Yep.
You know, you think it's like one formula to win.
No.
But you can't be like, oh, kumbaya, just everybody get along. No, listen, everybody gets along to go along.
But you got to do your job.
No, listen, you got to win. Listen, there ain't no adversity in winning. If you're winning, what adversity is in winning? No, it's when you challenge and you don't win, and you should have won, but you don't win.
That's when it's challenging.
Yeah. Just to be clear, the word heavy in a drill instructor format was your senior drill instructor was kind of the fatherly. He'd get after you a little bit, but then he'd also, come on, I'll pick you up. The heavy was the, I don't care who you are, I'm gonna crush you at every turn. That he was the heavy disciplinarian. That's why they call him the
like,
heavy.
Like, I'm going to shave your head right now, Christian, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, well, they didn't shave heads themselves.
But I'm saying he's like,
he never showed the heavy never lets off the gas, ever. No matter how good you are, he's always going to find something. And this goes to your point. He's always going to find something to nitpick at. Sean was like
and
that.
And Sean was always like okay, that. I had a nitpick with something.
Okay, on the offensive side, I don't know if he's been here long enough. You know who could potentially be the heavy on the offense? Pete Carmichael could never be heavy.
He can't
be the heavy in this life or the next life.
It's just not his personality.
And Dennis Allen's coaching the defense. He's not coaching the offense. The heavy, Christian, like you said, would have to be Doug Marrone. But Doug Marrone just got here from Alabama. He has not been here for years. So it's hard for him to come down as the heavy because they might go tell him to go F himself.
In college last year.
Exactly.
I don't care what your credentials were. You were coaching
exactly.
College.
They also would say you were a failed head coach.
No, but you could fail. But you have to be the man. It doesn't matter if you know football and you know what you're talking about. But to me, Doug Marrone has the right personality to make our offensive line nasty. But how about if our offensive line they were born that way? None of them are nasty. They're not nasty. They just like good citizens. I said this last night. It's like, no, you didn't invite them to your house party. I want offensive linemen you don't invite to the house party.
Kyle Turley.
Yeah, Kyle Turley. Conrad Dobler. I mean, I want those son of a guns. Or a guy like Carl Nix. Don't say much, but all of a sudden he's going to take you out to the woodshed and whip your butt and then walk back like, I don't know where he went. He just
disappeared.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, I wanted to bring it up when we had the guests on for the Vikings, but the punter for the Vikings is Ryan Wright. He's from San Ramon, California. He went to Tulane. You talk about a heavyweight punter. He's 6'4". I remember when he came work out. He was 242 pounds, and you'd swear they had helium in the ball when he'd hit it.
He wasn't putting in Colorado.
No. And so they released a veteran punter who they really liked to keep the rookie Ryan Wright, who had punted at Tulane. He was a great punter for the Green Wave. So you get to see him Sunday. But Ryan Wright, when you look at him, if you'd walk into a room and see him, he's like, that guy's a football player. Oh, he must play tight end or defensive
end. He's the punter.
He's the punter. He's a legit 6'4". 245.
And so, Mike, how did he end up from, Ryan Griffin left California. He was the quarterback of Tulane to back up, you know, practice squad. Look, he played Saints, Tampa Bay. How did he come from California to Tulane?
He told me that he had a coach in high school that had connections to Tulane. And they said, man, go recruit Ryan Wright. And so he said, that's how I got here.
Oh, it's all about connections, I'm telling you.
And the other thing
he
told me.
It's amazing who you know. And yeah. Like, oh, you got to come check out this
guy.
That's
not just in football. That's in life, too.
Yeah. Who do you know? Who can get it done?
The other thing he told me was, man, it looks real nice if you hang that on the wall. I got a Tulane University degree.
Oh, yeah, well, without a doubt.
He said, that is something.
I went to Tulane. I went to Vanderbilt. I went to Northwestern in Chicago, Illinois. That helps.
Stanley, Damian, Lolita, Bottleman, you're next. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Bobby, Mike, and Christian back here on Sports Talk. The Saints Hour coming up at 7 o'clock with the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas, and Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis from London. Damian on our Oakland Art Jewelers. Go ahead, Damian. You're on WWL.
Where you at, fellas? How you doing?
Where you at, Damian? Yeah. What's going on, dog?
I'm coming out of Ponchatoula, babe.
All right. What you got for the team?
Christian, I just want to say thank you, man. I've interviewed you 3 times on my podcast. Thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. Happy to do it,
Hopefully, Damian. Hopefully I can get all you guys on. Mike, I got your guy Ross Jackson coming on after the London game, so hopefully I can get all you guys on. But I wanted to talk to you guys about how here in New Orleans we seem to be coddling Jameis. I mean,
that's a bunch of BS, Damon. We shouldn't be coddling nobody. It's a production business.
Bobby, I hear you. I want to say that I give props to him for playing hurt, but at what detriment, though? I mean, it's hurting the team. I think we ought to give Andy a shot.
I think that's making an excuse, is saying that he's playing injured, and that's what's causing this. I think that's an excuse. I don't think he's that hurt, because if he was that hurt, the doctors wouldn't have cleared him. They cleared him.
Well,
and if he is bothered, if he's got a little bit of pain, like Bobby has said, are you hurt or are you injured? There's a difference.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot of people that are hurt. This hurts, that hurts. Now, are you truly injured? If you got high ankle sprain, that's like a broke ankle. Is it broken? No, then you cannot produce. You cannot play. But to say you're not hurt, no, I'm not saying his back's not hurt. We had the doctor on. Dr. Chow was like, I don't know. He described it as like back spasms. Now, that's a bad thing, but you can shoot up your back and whatever comes about. All I know is on the latter part of that game, didn't Jameis go 7-for-7?
Yeah.
And we went down, bam, 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 and scored. But can he do that for 4 quarters and be consistent?
We'll find out. Mike, that's a wrap for you, man.
All right, guys. See y'all tomorrow.
Yep, talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Mike. All right.
1 more hour to go leading up to the Saints Hour on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.